Morning.
Morning.
I drew the short straw. I got to preach today. And I usually, as I think I've actually mentioned this several times in recent months, I usually go off the Revised Common Lectionary. Sort of been hammering that home. Today I thought I was. And then yesterday, as I began to work on this sermon, I was like, nope, those aren't the scriptures. The different scriptures. So the ones that are in your bulletin are not the scriptures that I'm going to read right now. Give me a moment. I'm going to be reading out of Jeremiah rather extensively this morning. The reading is Jeremiah 29, 1 through 14. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Jerusalem, of Judah and Jerusalem, the artisans and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon, to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon: Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel: Do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord: Only when Babylon's 70 years are complete will I visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." That's the reading from Jeremiah 29. And now I'm going to read an abridged, slightly edited, you can check the scripture, see if I'm making terrible mistakes, but a slightly edited version of Jeremiah 39, 1 through 10. And interestingly, Jeremiah is not written in chronological order. So the thing I'm about to read you is later in the scripture, but it actually comes before in chronology. This is how Jerusalem was captured. In the 9th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, in the 10th month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, a breach was made in the city. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came and sat in the middle gate with all the rest of the officials of the king of Babylon. The army of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook King Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and he passed sentence on them. The king of Babylon had slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slaughtered all the nobles of Judah. He put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him in fetters to take him to Babylon. The Chaldeans burned with fire the king's house and the houses of the people, and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, exiled to Babylon the rest of the people who were left in the city, those who had deserted to him, and the rest of the people who remained. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah some of the poor people who owned nothing and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. And we think we've had a rough week. I don't want to make any assumptions about people's politics,
Because something I really value about this church is we're not a red church or a blue church. This church is not about Democrats and Republicans. It's about Jesus Christ. So I want to get that out of the way before I say I've had a rough week. And I suspect a lot of us, it's been very hard to watch Donald Trump triumph and the hard right politics he represents triumph. And I've been struggling this week with the xenophobic, anti-ecological, and authoritarian direction that our nation will be heading in the coming months and years. We've all been told the race was close. And so I wasn't surprised that Donald Trump won. What did surprise me was that he won by such a resounding margin. I'm sure you all remember that in 2016 and 2020, the race was tight both times. It wasn't tight this time. The hard turn to the right is clearly what the American people want. This is what our country has chosen. So, for me, on a personal level, on an emotional level, I feel like the Babylonians have conquered Jerusalem and that I'm being taken into exile. And I'm wondering what to make of that. What does it mean to truly lose on a political and cultural level? What does it mean to be driven into exile and be at the mercy of my enemies? And what would it mean to hear, like Jeremiah did, that God expects me to accept this defeat as a consequence of my own sin? In our reading this morning, Jeremiah makes it clear to the exiles in Babylon that things are not going to get better anytime soon. God is not going to defeat their enemy, King Nebuchadnezzar, and return them home. It's not going to happen in the next couple of years. In another place in Jeremiah, Jeremiah refuted another prophet who said, "Don't worry, in just a couple of years you're going to be returned home." And Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, it ain't so." The word of the Lord through Jeremiah is that the exiles in Babylon are to give up their hope for an immediate deliverance. Instead, God commands them to settle down, have children, plant vineyards, build houses, and work for the good of the city where they've been sent into exile. God, evangelical Christians love this part of Jeremiah. I've heard it preached on so many times. And when they preach on it, I always hear them talk about seeking the welfare of the city. And they always want to make it about Pittsburgh or Los Angeles or Phoenix. That is not what Jeremiah is talking about. He is not talking about seeking the good of some generic, needy neighbors. We're not going to care for those poor folks over there and seek their welfare. He is talking about seeking the welfare of powerful, a foreign society that has struck us and murdered our king and burned our temple. The word of the Lord through Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon is love your enemies. Seek the best interests of the people that have taken everything from you. Be a blessing to them, and trust me, I'll take care of you. The message of God to the exiled people of Jerusalem is that God is still in control, despite the defeat of God's king and the destruction of God's temple. God is still reigning, still sovereign over all, despite the circumstances that, from a rational human perspective, would indicate that all hope is lost. So, on this first Sunday morning, after an election that for me feels like a devastating conquest, I feel the word of the Lord to me in the prophecy of Jeremiah. "You've been defeated," says the Lord. "But I have not been defeated. You are still my people, and I am still your God. You have been carried away into exile, and it seems like all is lost. But now is the time for patient endurance. Do not fight. Do not resist. Do not rise up. Humble yourselves and make yourselves useful. Make yourselves a blessing to your enemies. And I will bless you, says the Lord. I don't know about you, that's not what I want to hear. That isn't what I want God to say to me when I'm feeling defeated. I want God to take my side. I want God to say, I will smash your enemies and restore your nation and guarantee your safety. I want God to make things better, and I want him to do it fast. But God doesn't always work that way. In fact, it seems that God frequently does not work this way. Jesus endured the cross. The people of Israel endured exile. The early Quakers endured persecution and humiliation. Whether I like it or not, God has a long track record of allowing his people to go through hard trials and expecting us not only to endure those trials, but to use them as an opportunity to bless those around us, including and especially our enemies. So what does it look like to bless our enemies? What does it look like for me to show the love of God to the people who have conquered Jerusalem and sent me into exile? What does it look like to accept the verdict of God, who says, do not resist, but rather seek the welfare of the conquerors who have humiliated you? How do I feel my way through Jesus' command to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me? How can I do this when there are people who are really actually my enemies? This is not just theory. The words of Jesus' disciples come into my mind in this moment when they were faced with this kind of hard teaching. It happens to be Jesus' teaching on wealth, but I think it applies here too. The disciples cried out to Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" And I remember the words of Jesus' response, which were, "For people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Not only is it possible, but with God's help, as we see from the stories of Israel and stories of Jesus, this command to patient endurance and suffering is actually a call to abundant life. Endurance and exile led eventually to restoration. The pain and humiliation of the cross led eventually to resurrection. But the process can't be short-circuited. Jesus had to die. The people of Israel had to be away for 70 years in a foreign land. We have to fully engage with the depths of the cross before we can ascend with Jesus to God's right hand. We must first accept the verdict of exile before we can hope to be restored to our true home. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and husbands, have children, raise your families in this new reality, trusting in God for our hope and future. Multiply, grow stronger in the midst of the struggle. Seek the welfare of this land of exile where we find ourselves. Pray for the welfare of this nation we live in, because its welfare is going to be our welfare. God has not forgotten us. God is not unaware of what is happening. Unlike Baal, he's not gone off to take a nap. To paraphrase the words of George Fox, the power of the Lord is still over all. We have not been abandoned. God has promised to walk with us and care for us as we sojourn in exile. But escape is not an option. This exile is reality. And to resist the exile is to resist the will of God. What does it look like for us to grow in exile? To grow in God's love? How will we become a people who show God's love for enemies as we multiply in the land, waiting for God's deliverance? What does it look like to seek the welfare of the land where we have been sent into exile? What does it look like for us to build houses, plant fields, have children, and fully invest ourselves in this land where we've been carried? For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise to bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me, I will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile.